6:30, if you could please rise for the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Okay, we'll call the meeting to order. Trustee Kopisch here. Trustee Gendrich
here.
Trustee Green
here.
Trustee Vandenhoven is here. Trustee Dart
here.
Trustee Gast is absent. Trustee Zeller is excused. I have three suggested modifications to the agenda. I'll read those off and then I'll take any other suggestions thereafter. I'm going to move that we move item 7 to 4A. 11 to 4B and 9A to 7A. Is there anyone else visiting us who'd like to see an agenda item move up or down the agenda this evening? Are there any other suggested modifications from the board?
No.
Is there a motion to approve the agenda as modified? Trustee Kopisch, second. Trustee Gendrich, all in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Announcements. For the record, Trustee Gast arrived at 6:34. Mr. Lane?
Yes, on October 22nd, per the recommendation of Park and Rec, we are going to host a public listening session regarding the deer and turkey potential hunts within the village. So try to get the word out as best we can. I've been getting a lot of phone calls and emails from residents wondering when it's going to take place and or is there really a necessity to it. So we want to make sure, you know, when we have this public meeting that we are open-minded and try to gather as much information as we certainly can before we move forward with anything.
Great, thank you. Any other announcements?
I just want to mention that for the 2014 police budget, we're currently budgeting for a Dodge Charger police vehicle, being that Ford Crown Victorias are no longer being made. I have some information on that for you, price-wise and usage, being that that's what most departments in the area are going to. That's what I would recommend. The other option that I've seen in the area is a Ford police SUV, but the price is a bit higher, and officers won't be as familiar with that vehicle. So I have some handouts I'll bring up to you if you want to consider anything else other than the Dodge Charger, or if you have any ideas or feedback, please just let me know.
And we'll be tackling this during the budget process, is that right?
Right now we have the car in, the Dodge Charger is right. In, but if you have a preference with SUV or if you have any ideas, then if you'll let us know early, then we can get that in, because there is a price difference in the two.
Right.
I thought you were buzzing.
Okay. Any other announcements?
I just wanted to let you know that if you have heard Hilltop, is the demolition started on Hilltop today. There will probably be some media coverage. We've had a lot of calls from the media and the residents. I don't have a timeline on when they will be done. That I talked to the homeowner today, and he's going to get me some information on proposed timelines for things. But just so you know, it has started. There's been lots of people around and lots of interest in it as well. We're going to put something together to get out to the residents, just to put on the door, kind of giving them an update as soon as I get something more substantial from the contractor and from the owner.
Thank you.
There was a rumor, Tracy, circulating that the village had issued a permit upon demolition, something was to get it started. Can we dispel that there have not been any permits issued?
There are no permits issued. The only permit that has been issued is a demolition permit. There is no permit issued for a building at that site or anything in that regard.
Might want to include that on the letter or whatever we send to residents in that area, just reminding them that that's the only permit for demolition that's been issued. Any further announcements? Hearing none, we'll move on to public appearances. Is there anyone who'd like to speak this evening? Yes, sir.
Evening. Pat Collins, 2310 Main Wall Street. I come before the board. This is a request for the village board to put the topic on the village board size on the agenda for the upcoming meeting, with the goal of putting a vote to a reduction to 4 trustees. Consideration be given to at budget time for the savings this would create. The money could be better spent keeping recreational programs vibrant. The city of Green Bay has 12 council members, and it is at least 8 times the size of Alloway. The village of Bellevue has 4 board members and is a dynamic, fast-growing community. The village of Alloway is fully grown. The infrastructure is there, and it no longer has to manage its fire department. So, for these reasons and more, I believe it's incumbent on the village board to do the right thing and put to a vote to reduce its size to 4 trustees. The timing of this is just about right. If the board puts its mind to it, we have elections coming up. You could, at that time, change the constitution of the board, have a vote at large for 4 trustees rather than 6. You could also do it 1 year at a time. Next election, you vote for 2 instead of 3. Following year, vote for 2 out of 3. I was on this village board when some members that are here came in front of the then village board and said, well, you don't deserve health insurance. You should eliminate health insurance for village board trustees. And the thing is, I never took the health insurance, but the board at that time did vote to eliminate health insurance for trustees. It was a tough vote for some people because they depended on it. But certain board members that are here today pushed to have those savings for the village. Well, now I'm pushing for you all to do the right thing and to not think about your personal goals of being a trustee. And maybe if you work hard enough, you still will be a trustee. But to put to a vote this coming next, well, whenever you want to put it on the agenda, could be November, that would be in time to make the arrangements to reduce the size of the board at the following election or do whatever. There's many ways of doing it. And I would hope the village board would find ways of accomplishing that than to find ways not to accomplish it. And as tonight, when you started, I thought maybe you got a little ahead of me there, and because you only had 4 trustees when you started out this evening. I think you would have managed well with 4 trustees. You would have gotten the people's business done. And also an important fact, this board has been very tardy as far as missing meetings. Members have missed a lot of meetings. When I was on the village board, it was rare that a board member missed meetings. But it seems that we have so many trustees that they no longer take their job seriously enough to make it to every meeting. This is something that I think I have taken very seriously in the past. When I was on the county board, we had a budget meeting, and I found myself with some Girl Scouts that I had to take down to Savannah, Georgia. I flew back on my own dime to make it to the county board budget meeting. That's dedication. And I think this board, with fewer members, would take their job a little more seriously, make it to more meetings, and to serve the people just as well with 4 than with 6. Now, thank you very much.
Thank you. Is there anyone else you'd like to speak this evening? Yes, sir.
Thank you. I'm Jim O'Rourke with Historic Alloway Society. I just wanted to let you know that I did get a letter from the preservation officer, and he said that the intensive survey is a final, complete document. No changes will ever be made again to it. so no updates, no funding for any updates will be available. Our society is just going to go ahead and continue our research specifically on the Camp Smith property and on the Green and Froman subdivision and on the Sunlight Park subdivision. Thanks.
Thank you. Anyone else who'd like to speak? Hearing none, we'll move on to the old item 7, action regarding the adoption of resolution 2013-14, thanking Paul Lee Joyce, founder and executive director of the Miracle League of Green Bay. I'll take a motion with regard to this item before I read the resolution. Trustee Kopisch.
Move to adopt.
Is there a second? Trustee Green.
Second.
I will read the resolution. Whereas the Alloy Optimist Miracle League of Green Bay is a nonprofit organization that provides children aged 4 to 19 with mental and or physical challenges an opportunity to play baseball as a team member with real uniforms and an organized league regardless of their capabilities. And whereas the Miracle League of Green Bay has completed its 8th season, the Village of Alloy gratefully recognizes all that made this field of dreams a reality for so many special children to enjoy. And whereas thanks to the extraordinary efforts of Paul Lee Joyce, founder, executive director, Alloy Optimist Club members, donors, and hundreds of volunteers, the Miracle League continues to make memories for the players and families involved. And whereas the transformation of the Optimist Park Sandlot baseball field was initiated in 2005, with the first year of the Miracle League having 4 teams and 65 ballplayers, it has grown to 16 teams, over 200 players, and 400-plus angels in the field in 2013. And whereas Resch Family Field and Favre Family Foundation Playground is a showpiece for what is possible through the dedication and teamwork of generous and caring people, and whereas the American flag is proudly raised to the playing of the national anthem as the ballplayers take the field, dressed in their uniforms, anxiously awaiting the umpire to make the call, play ball. Now, therefore, be it resolved that the Alloy Village Board hereby commends Paul Lee Joyce for his dedication and commitment to the ballplayers, parents, and volunteers of the Miracle League of Green Bay. Passed and approved by the Village Board of the Village of Alloy this first day of October 2013. If it passes, you never know. Any discussion on the motion? Not much to discuss, but on behalf of the board and of the village, Paul, we thank you from the bottom of our hearts. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Paul?
You have the resolution.
Eight years is nothing. If you think that's something, wait till the 10th anniversary. It's going to be extra special. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thanks, Paul. Old item 11. Report from our assessor on the reevaluation of the village, open book, and board of review. Mr. Dina.
On September 19th, we had our 2013 board of review. We had no appeals present at that time, so we adjourned after 2 hours. Debbie, do they have copies of this?
No.
Okay. By the way, if you haven't met my son, Joe, Joe is here tonight. Joe and myself did really all the valuation for the 2013 market adjustment. What I passed out is just like a brief summary of the changes. In the first column, we're showing what the assessed value was is, I should say, for 2013, the total value of this village is $871,618,600. The next couple columns are really primarily adjustments, what we had to make. And if you see the adjusted state value, the Department of Revenue deems that the village to be worth $856,364,000. So based on that, we're at 100.51%. So our goal is to be somewhere between as close to 100% as possible. Above it, it shows where you see the 2013 ratio. For this year, we're at, after the completion of the border review, we're at 101.62% on residential and 99.83% on commercial, so both very close to the 100% goal we were obtaining. Next, it was showing what it was in 2012, so you can see the adjustment. 2012, we're at 112%, and for 2013, we're at 101% in residential. In commercial, we're at 103.4%, and now we're at the 99.83%. Tax rate, as we all know, we have no idea at this point until the levies and the budget's completed. But below that is showing, based on the revaluation, what the adjustment would be to the tax rate. And one other thing to note is the effect on the new TIF district. Last year, the district began, and the state certified value, equalized value, is $77,791,500. After the completion of the market adjustment, we're at $84,372,500. So we did have an increment. We do have an increment created of 7.8% without really any growth, just on changing in values. Other than that, we're 100% compliant with the Department of Revenue. We have all assessment records are electronically stored, sketches, photos, all the processing for valuation is all electronic as well now. So that was really the objective of the board review. Market adjustment. Anything to add, Joel? Any questions?
So you might. What precipitates a revaluation if we're above 110 or below 90? That's a trigger for
it. They say within 10% of 100%. Yeah, between 90 and 110. There is some case law that gives direction that when you're over 100%, you really have little merit to value the properties above 100%. It's might be challenged again by a larger piece of property in Milwaukee, but that statute might change. But at this point, it's still between 90 and 110%.
And how do they know? I mean, isn't that what the revaluation is for, to determine what the property is actually worth? How do they know whether you've... How do they come up with their estimates that say that you're either above 110 or below 90?
Every sale that occurs, we are notified. We have a copy of the real estate transfer return. We have to notify the Department of Revenue of what the assessed value is of each property that sells based off of the selling price and what we have it assessed at. The established ratios, and that is their foundation.
Okay.
So they really they do the best they can, but on any given year, especially when the market's slow, you have a very small sample.
Right. Fair enough. Thank you. Any further questions or comments, Trustee Kopisch?
General question. This one's off the chart, I believe, but frequently. Our decisions are based on the amount of tax-exempt property, not-for-profit property in the village, and can affect decision-making. What is that covered in the valuation process? And is it an extraordinary percentage of the value in compare and contrast with other area communities?
It's given no consideration in the market adjustment. And I would say from other communities that we work in, I would say you're below average as far as exempt properties. The first one that comes to mind is the village of Hobart, where there's a considerable amount of land and trust with the United Tribe Indians. But I would say as a whole, you're certainly not above average.
In terms of the number of properties or in terms of the acreage?
I would say estimated value.
Okay. Any further questions? Thank you.
Thank you.
There's a question.
Unless there are objections from the board, we'll suspend the rules momentarily. Yes, sir.
Work with Olean Check Realty here in town, and I did get a call from a client who was concerned about their decrease in value and the impact that a lower assessed value would have on their property values. And I explained to her that it will probably result in a lower tax because of we have to pay less to the county and other places. But it will also make it more difficult to get a better refinance a home and get a higher price for their home because of the lower values. When the appraisers look at the assessed value, they use the assessed value when determining current market values. So my concern on taking the assessment when we did was there were a lot of foreclosures in the market at the time, which didn't reflect the actual condition of the overall village. And so that was just one of the concerns. But I thought that Mike does a wonderful job. Thanks.
Good. Just going to expand on that. As far as the county, the school, the state, that's all based on equalized values. So lowering the assessed values will not give a lower portion to the levy that's necessary to satisfy the county, the school, and the state, because that's already based off equalized values.
Any further questions, comments? Hearing none, we'll take up the rules, and we'll move on to item number 5, action regarding the approval of the 2012 management letter and the annual financial report. Again, my apologies for not making this meeting a couple weeks ago. Is there a motion with regard to this item? We've all had access either to the meeting live or the recording of that meeting. Trustee Gendrich.
I'll move to accept.
Is there a second? Trustee Dart? Discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Item number 6, action regarding the updating of Ordinance 11.03, definitions of home occupation. I'm going to make another motion to postpone. Mr. Roberts is not here again tonight. I think he should be at the next meeting. Is that correct? Is there a second?
Second.
Trustee Kopisch? Discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Old item 9A, action regarding recommendations from the Plan Commission from September 23rd. Recommendation of final approval of the site plan review for the Windermere Estate 3001 Riverside Drive. Would you like to hear some background and details about this before I entertain a motion?
We will start off, the property owner is here, as well as the consulting architect or builder. Maybe they can do a presentation and just answer some of your questions that way, and then I can add anything at the end that they haven't addressed, or if any questions that I can address, if that's okay.
You folks have something prepared that you'd like? Okay. I know there was a little bit of back and forth with regard to the driveway and...
My name is Mark Nystedt from Keller Inc. I'm the contractor representing the owner. I think maybe I'll just give you a little background, and then Tracy and I can work together on the amendments that came out of the Planning Commission and the meeting subsequently with the Fire Department. So I appreciate the neighbors showing up again. I appreciate you guys for the time. As you know, this is the location right next to the penitentiary right now. There's three existing buildings on site. There's a north building we'll refer to, an east building, and a west building. And then also to the south, we'd be looking at adding some parking to help accommodate the increased employment and visitation. Right now, they're a little tight on parking as it is right now. The project we really like to do is in two phases. Phase one would consist of the first thing that we need to get done is get the parking lot addition done on the south end of the property. So we have areas to stage our construction equipment and materials without trying to impede too much on everyday operations for the Windermere people. That also would be in conjunction with the addition of a five-bed facility on the east property, and then a four-bed addition on the north property, which abuts the penitentiary property. This is the existing facility right now. From here over to here, we're looking at the north building. The back of this faces north to the penitentiary. We're looking at adding, here's the new living area with a new carport for drop-off for patients to keep them out of the rain when they go to therapy and different things like that. We're planning on using all similar materials that are there with some brick accent on that building.
That's the north building that I'm talking about right now.
Then at the same time, we'll be doing some construction on the east building, which is an existing building from here, and we'll be adding to the south to that building. That'll be a five-bed addition to that. The facilities are fully sprinkled. We have had some conversation with the fire department. We're going to move a couple of their stores connections so it's a little more convenient for them. Also with Knox boxes for their keys to get into the facility, so we've had that conversation with them. The last phase of this would be the west building, which actually faces Riverside. Right now, that building ends back where the peak of this roof is, and it's a full masonry building, full masonry to Riverside. So our addition obviously would have a full masonry that faces the Riverside.
Again, here is the existing over here. This would be the future. If everything goes right, we'd be looking at maybe starting construction in that maybe mid-next summer. But we'll have to phase that out. We have also submitted a light lumen plan, a landscape plan, and a preliminary stormwater management plan to accommodate that part of it. During our discussions at the planning meeting, there was some questions brought up and with the neighbors. We are going to be addressing those with them personally on fencing and buffering. Words are always stronger than actions, so if there's an agreement that we can come to before we start, we would definitely like to have meetings with them so we can all be coming on agreement with that. Some of the other questions and changes that they had for us, I know there were some questions on green space. There's a few conflicting information stories. I think anything that has to do with staff, you can handle those, Tracy.
One of the big concerns of the neighbors were, number one, the dumpster enclosure. We had located that back over here in this corner, which abuts two residential lots. It's a tight fit, so we accommodated that by moving the dumpster behind the existing building. We'll be losing some parking spaces, but we think it accommodates everybody's needs. That'll be a full masonry enclosure. Right now, there is no enclosure. And part of the issue, I think, now is with what time the actual refuge is getting picked up. Sometimes it's 5 o'clock in the morning. Sometimes it could be 9 o'clock at night. So that's more of an administration call to the carrier to tell them that you need to do it during normal business hours. So, but just to show the neighbors where we moved that dumpster.
It was back over here before.
Mm-hmm.
So now we moved it behind the
building. Thank you.
The other another item that came up was a bike rack. So now we're showing a 6 bike rack facility for people to bike to work. They wanted to verify that the connection in the back towards the east was maintained to the existing path that goes out to the public right away now. So our sidewalk comes around here and it does connect to that, so we just wanted to show that back here. The other question was with our initial stormwater management plan, there's going to have to be a retaining wall that faces Riverside. And they said as long as it wasn't like a poured concrete wall, we're okay with that. So what we did was it'll be a decorative landscape block to match the existing landscaping. So it'll be a tan type of landscape block. And that's depicted right here. So that's where your retaining wall would be. Here's Riverside. Retaining wall would be here.
Will that whole area be filled? Because that's real low in there, I know.
The whole area will not be filled, but when we get to this addition next year, that area will be full. We've already applied for DNR permits for that small wetland, because right now that drainage area is pretty much taken on the whole neighborhood drainage right now, even from the public right away behind the east of the building. So we are going to redirect the stormwater with catch basins starting back here to catch the stormwater that's coming from the public right away. Treating that for the village, bringing it around the parking lot, down through the drives, and then coming all the way back up to the south, and then back into the culvert that goes back under Riverside, which also is part of the Heritage Hill retention bond, so we're allowed to use that and pay a fee for that, so that's how we're going to handle it. So here's that. And then we did also note on here about the landscape screening and buffering. So we're not trying to skirt that issue. We've had conversations briefly with some of the neighbors. Randy will definitely accommodate what they're looking for. We had some discussions about slatted fences versus cyclone fence, and we'll work with them on what they want. Some of them might probably want a cyclone fence, which we talked about before, because there's a gap between the two fences right now. So we'll eliminate both fences and put up a new fence on the property line.
And that plan has been approved through Brad? Is that right?
Brad did look at the landscaping plan, but the buffer area, he has not, because we haven't gotten that yet. So the landscaping, the general landscaping on site, he has approved, but he hasn't looked at that. Or he has not looked at there needs to be some screening when they put in their some of their HVA system will be down on ground level, so that will be screened as well, and that will have to come back to Brad for his approval.
Okay, and that's part of the understanding that we're
correct. Correct. And then the last thing I found out about today, they had asked us to add a safety walk from our upper parking lot to get down their employees back down to there. So we were kind of squeezed in the back. We ended up creating a fire lane for the fire department for safety. We had that in there originally. As of it is right now, it's drawn at 12 feet. The fire department is recommending that we go to 14 feet. So that buffer will go from 5 feet down to 3 feet. Is that correct, Tracy?
Yes.
And that's all right with the Planning Commission's report. In your memo, you said that.
The Planning Commission had recommended a 5 foot, and it was 3 originally, and then we moved it to 5. But then when the fire department looked at it, they do not want to go down to a 12-foot road. They want to keep it at least 14. So.
But 3 is still okay with regard to the building inspector, and right?
Yes. It's,
it was in your memo that it's not, we're not going to be.
Right. It meets a setback, because there is no setback requirement for a landscaped area or a paved area. If it was a building, there would be a setback requirement, but the building inspector does not have a concern with the 3 feet.
Why did the Planning Commission want to go from 3 to 5?
Their reason was just to have more space for landscaping and to have more
green space.
To screen it a little bit better. And at that time, we thought the 12-foot drive was all right. And when we went back to the fire inspector after having the shinny it up, then he said, no, we needed at least 14.
But that was the only reason, is green space. So we're basically choosing between safety and green space.
Right.
Okay. Thank you. Trustee Green.
However, they're not budging on the 90% at least opaque, correct?
The 90%.
That's why the board-on-board fence. Because one of the things between private residences and in the commercials is adequate screening. So if we go from 5 to 3, is there, I'm assuming we're sticking with the 90%, at least 6 foot high.
We have, do you guys remember when we went through the church, with the
church
down on Bible, and there was a change in the ordinance that allowed some deviation from the buffer area if they worked with the resident and the residents were okay with it, because at that area we talked about a 6 foot buffer, and the residents really did not want that. So that's
what do these residents want?
This is a church, yep. Pardon?
What do these residents want?
Well, and that's what we've talked to them, and we've directed the owner to work with them and come up with something that's amenable to them, just like we did with the church. And then Brad, if it ends up being landscaping, he would approve that as far as species and placement and that type of thing.
And we'll open it up to the residents in a moment.
Good. Well, I guess my major concern with that just is that you get the protection you need with the buffer that you need. So, because somehow that one gets overlooked sometimes. And you're still a locked facility, correct?
Excuse me?
Locked facility?
Yes.
Okay. So I'm assuming then there's going to be a fence, because we can't have wandering.
Absolutely.
Okay.
Any further questions?
I guess if the residents would like to speak on the fence, we had some initial conversation and we suggested the lap board. These particular residents did not want that.
Right.
So I guess if they would like to speak on whatever we need to do to appease that, that'd be great.
And just please know, my thing is dialogue between residents and the businesses.
Oh,
because we've had businesses come into this village and stomp all over residents, and I'm very cognizant that we don't ever let that happen again.
We appreciate that. I think Randy's been a good neighbor, and I think he's definitely will work with him.
Well, we haven't ever heard any complaints out of your facility, so.
I wish it was mine, but that's Randy's right there.
Any further questions before we open it up? Trustee Dart?
One of the things that Plan Commission has talked about and is on the agenda in another place tonight is site plan design and review. They added the pavement adjacent to and under the dumpster must be, quality to hold up the garbage trucks. Was that discussed at all?
No, but ours, we don't use pavement. We use concrete. It's a 6-inch concrete pad. The pad is 6 inches under where the dumpsters are, and then it extends another 25 feet past the dumpsters. So when the trucks pull up, they're totally on concrete when they're lifting up.
Okay, because we've seen concrete in new facilities that were destroyed within a couple years.
Maybe they pour it wrong, I don't know. But as you can see, here's our dumpster enclosure, and then here's the concrete pad that extends past it.
Anything further before we open it up?
I think maybe, Tracy, you should probably expound on the rest of the questions that they had, just so you know that they've been answered, because there was like 13 items. So I think I addressed them all.
Yes, you did. Looking at your memo, there's just a couple other things that weren't addressed. The stormwater erosion, number 8, stormwater erosion control plan must be developed for the whole property and approved by the public works director. That is in the process right now, so your approval, if you could please put that as part of your approval, that they need to get an approved stormwater management plan and erosion control by the public works director. The lighting plan.
Tracy, can I interrupt? I'd like to hear from the residents, and then we'll sort of button up exactly what, you know, summarize what we're talking about in terms of things that have changed and some things that have happened with regard to your memo.
Sure.
And then, so then right after that, we can actually remember what you said and go into the motion. I'll forget.
Yeah.
So thank you.
Sure.
Unless there's something else immediate, let's suspend the rules and hear from the residents. Is there anyone who'd like to speak with regard to this issue? Could you please, I'm sorry, come up and state your name and address for the record, please.
I'm Marcia Wasman, 450 Taft. So we are the corner piece where
you
the
dumpster
was
dump?
Going
okay,
to be.
All right.
So we're very thrilled that that was done. Thank you. Right now, it's a chain link fence, and then it kind of goes partway over our property, and we have our own fence, so there's a 6-inch differential. So we'd be happy just having them take down our fence and put chain link the rest of the way down, because then it would match what's already up there. And just so they put maybe some bushes or whatever. And according to, I think they said that we do have a 6-inch or 6 feet abutment to our property, I think. Is that correct? On the south side, it's 6 or 5?
The buffer, yes.
The buffer?
The buffer, yes.
Okay. So we're happy with that.
Okay.
We're just happy the dumpsters were moved, and thank you for calling, because I'm not beeping at 4 in the morning.
Because we have a noise ordinance that actually precludes that, and sometimes we don't know what's happening until we get phone calls, because you have not been the only residential
right.
community that's been affected. And they usually cease and desist as soon as Tracy calls them.
How long have you been neighbors?
We've been there almost 31 years. Oh. And most... all of us are been there that long, if not longer.
Go ahead.
So, and they've been very good neighbors. So we just would like the fence situation, and if we're hoping that if they do fill in that area, that we will not be flooded, and that they would have to take care of that if that's down the road, if that's what happens.
While you're here, did I hear that there was actually consideration of taking down the chain link fence and putting up
well,
a slab fence, but you don't want that.
We
I mean,
want
that
ours
would match
taken
too.
Down because they would be putting ours, theirs, like we'd have 6 inches and then ours comes up.
The maintenance
right now the fence comes around the corner and stops, and then we have a space with ours that comes the rest of the way to the end of our property.
Okay.
So we would like ours down so that we don't have 6 inches of a fence and a fence.
Right.
It's hard to cut between there.
Right. And they were in agreement with that.
Sure.
So.
Okay. And there's an existing, the existing fence that's not yours is a slatted fence? Is that
no,
right?
It's
and
a chain link.
Our fence and, what would you say?
4 feet, maybe?
Right. But right now they have a fence and we have a fence. Our fence doesn't
line up.
Doesn't line up.
Right.
There's no man's
property
land.
Line. Well,
but yours is the chain link and yours is not.
They both are chain link.
Oh, they're both
yours
chain link.
Yours is taller chain link than ours. We have 4 feet and I think yours is 5 feet.
And if you had a preference, would it be that everything's taken down, it matches up and it's slated, or that it's chain link? Do you like
chain
the chain
link? Chain
link
is fine.
Okay. All
right. Right, when we talked at the Planning Commission, you know, Mark, I suggested possibly a board on board because there was an issue of the parking stalls that are going to be facing to the south, which would be to the backyard of the neighbor. There's a concern about
lights.
About mm-hmm. their lights. And so Mark had suggested maybe to do a board on board cedar.
Yeah.
But, you know, the neighbors, I guess, would prefer not to have that. So if we put a chain link fence up and then with shrubbery left or
something? We'll talk with them on shrubbery, but we'll have some low growth shrubs and then some arborvitaes.
Something to hide the lights.
Is this issue in the future for any party involved?
Okay. It sounds like you've discussed all the options and you have an understanding. That's
just real quickly, for the people on the east side, is there any possibility, well, none of them are here,
right?
Talk to them and see if they want, your property owners here, if you want to add a row of shrubs on their side of the property, just give them the
property.
Talk to them and see what they want. Which would
be very helpful for our 3-foot buffer.
Right.
Sure.
Right.
Would you change it from a 3-foot to a 6-foot buffer? And
sure. Right. If they were agreeable with that, that would be fine. Good idea.
Hey, sir, could you state your name and address for the record and you as well, if we could?
Sure. My name is Randy Montfort. I'm one of the owners of Windermere.
Okay. I'm Rob Watson.
Same address. Okay. Thank you. Anything further from our visitors or anyone else, even if you're not a neighboring resident?
I guess I do have one more question. So if this, if the south parking lot is being done first to accommodate, does that mean that that fence will go up before that parking lot starts?
Absolutely.
Okay.
Okay. Hearing no more, we'll take up the rules. And this is how it's supposed to work with people who own businesses in Alloway and the residents in the neighboring areas to be able to work things out almost to a T before they even get to us. So I think you've done a great job on both sides. Is there a motion with regard to this item? Tracy, we need to hear from you so we know what that motion might be. So you have 14 different items, and number 2 has changed, right?
Yeah, 2 has changed. That would be the 3-foot now on the east. Then we can jump down to 8, and I stated that before, just said that it has to be approved, put to contention on approval by the Public Works Director for the Stormwater and Erosion Control Plan.
Mm-hmm.
The lighting plan and green space and open space requirement were reviewed, and they were approved by the building inspector, so there's no caveat with that. Those 2 are okay. They must complete a CSM to combine the property into one parcel, and I know that you talked about that, so a CSM will be coming, and I don't know what your timeline is on that, you guys know. The driveway permit, we had a driveway permit from them, from the DOT, it expired, so they need to get us a new driveway permit for that secondary drive that they're adding to the south of their property, and then they obtain all approvals for wetland mitigation as well.
So basically everything on this list of 14 applies. Some of it's already been done. Some of it has yet to be completed. What about the buffer landscaping going back to Mr. Lang?
We can certainly put that in there, that the buffer landscaping and then the screening landscaping for the HVAC units needs to come back for approval for the village forester. That would be great.
Okay. Okay, that could be item number 15. I'll entertain a motion. Please remember that number 2 has changed. Trustee Kopisch?
I'll move to approve with the recommendations from Tracy.
The changing of 5 feet to 3 in number 2, Trustee Kopisch?
Yeah.
The adding of the screening and buffering landscaping going to the village and forester before approval. That would be a night.
Everything as was agreed with the site.
Okay. Trustee Green?
Second.
The discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Thanks, folks. Item 8. This will clear people out in a hurry, right? We're talking about policy changes. Thank you, sir.
Call off a week. Clear
the board out of it.
Yeah, you're not allowed to do that.
I put up changes that may be a little bit easier for you to look at than the full policy manual that was put together. The one that you received with your memo is highlighted. If you look at each policy number behind it, it basically states what staff has recommended. Staff has put a lot of time into this. There's been a subcommittee. Debbie, myself, Clara, and Sherry have sat on the subcommittee and spent a lot of time looking through this and going back and forth. And also we dragged Brad and Craig into it, and they got their 2 cents worth in as well and helped out a lot on some of their policies. So what you have before you, the big document really spells out all the different policies and what our recommendation is as far as these particular policies. Now, to make it a little easier, when I talked to Steve this morning, he said, well, could we take a and put this in a single-page document? So we did that, and you can see the document that's on your counter. It talks about the policies that we recommend be deleted, and they're all listed there, and behind them, there may be some comments in regard to why we made the deletion. If there isn't a comment, it's things that just are not valid anymore, that don't we don't have that practice or the practice has changed. There's a couple highlighted areas in the deleted policies that say put in personnel manual. So there's a couple of items that are actually deleted out of the policy book, but they will be put into the personnel manual. So there's number 31 and then number 44 on the back page will be moved into the personnel manual. Then the next section is policies to be incorporated into current ordinances. And these are ones that will come back to you in the future and will be updated in our ordinances. And then the last section would be policies to put into an operational handbook is the working name, at least we have right now for that. And that would be miscellaneous policies that just don't fit anywhere else or aren't addressed elsewhere. Clara's kind of working on that to develop a way to put sections into it rather than have it just be one book with all the policies in. They'd be categorized, maybe financial, maybe there'd be some parks and recreation ones, there'd be some, you know, public works type ones. So maybe it's a little more user-friendly for us to use and to put different policies into that. So this is a summary of the big document that you received. And, you know, when you look at some of the policies, you know, you have ones in there that, you know, there's 62 of them that have been put in over the years. You know, everything from construction debris, collection policy, to e-calls, to even a policy that everything you wanted to know about the opening of school and alleys but were afraid to ask. So there's a whole gamut of policies that are in there. And, you know, some of them are valid, some are not anymore. And like I said, we went through them. We really perused them and made some decisions based on what's current, what's not, and different places that things needed to be moved. So that's what this document is, and that's what we'd like to see happen as we move along with it.
I really commend the staff for cleaning it up, taking this initiative, because this is just a hodgepodge of stuff that clearly does belong in other places. Before we start, I want to sort of clear up how people interpret the term policy. I've heard the word used differently. Some people use policy to mean the actual rule that it takes a vote of the board to change, and other people use policy more in terms of procedures, of how we get sort of operational standards that we use. And I want to make sure we're sort of all on the same page with regard to how we're using the term. To me, when we talk about, oftentimes we're talking about procedures of how we do our business in the Village of Alloway in this section, or in this book, policy book, is that what
that's
call
what
it?
The
policy book, it's really more procedural in my mind than it is policy. The things that are real policy go into either ordinances or in the personnel manual as rules of what, you know, of that we follow here. But other people have different interpretations, and they use the word policy to actually mean procedure. And so I've always been a little bit confused and want to make sure that we have an understanding before we move forward.
What is your understanding?
My understanding is that this policy book is really about procedures, about how in what ways do we follow the rules that we've set for ourselves. They're not really the rules that we've set for ourselves. Those belong in other places, like what the staff has done. So, for example, I think that there are obviously charter ordinances that describe about how we try to follow Robert's rules at the board level. That has to be cleaned up, too, and I told Tracy this morning, I think I want to take that on and sort of cleaning up those ordinances, because we don't follow Robert's rules to a strict T. We have sort of ways of doing things that are different than that. Those, I think, belong in a policy book or whatever we call this, where the way that we follow the spirit of Robert's rules or the rules for engagement, but we do things differently here, and that's where those go. So Robert's rules sometimes give you choices as to whether you'll entertain consent agendas or you won't. We're answering that question yes. We choose to run our meetings that will have a particular process and we'll entertain consent agendas. Some municipalities don't do consent agendas. You take each item in turn and you vote yes or no on each item in turn. That choice doesn't have to be a big rule change. It's the way that we are choosing to do business at the board level. So in my mind, these types of things should be more easily changed, and they're not the big rules that we follow, rather they're the ways that we get things done. Trustee Gass.
No, I think I agree with that general definition. I mean, we have ordinances, and ordinances are laws. And then we have internal policies and procedures, and those should be fluid and flexible to adapt to changing circumstances. I mean, but I still think, whatever you call it, if it's a formalized policy of the village, I mean, I believe that is something that the board has to change or alter or modify. Yeah, because, I think some of the policy differential is that, some people construe policies and those can be changed by staff or by the village administrator.
Right.
I mean, I understand what you're saying, and I think it's true. I mean, I just want it to be clear that if we're going to change a formalized policy of the village, even that's a board decision, if we change those. And I'll applaud staff as well. I mean, I think this was a tough job. I mean, my eyes got crossed reading all the yellow and trying to follow it. I mean, yeah, there were some outdated things in there, and this is not a small undertaking. I mean, it took us 3 years to do a parking ordinance. I mean, everybody had to weigh in on this, so I mean, I think the work was outstanding, and things are going or starting to go where they should go.
We'll have 7 new ordinances coming to you.
Well, yes, that's something that Tracy didn't mention, is that one of the reasons I wanted her to divide it up is there's a different process depending on what we do. Those things that are deleted can just be deleted. Those things that would go into or an ordinance, we are going to have to come back to the board, as are those things that will appear in the personnel manual. So I didn't know if we'd make it through all 63 tonight, but if she sort of chunked them together, I'm figuring we can at least decide what goes in the deleted pile that we don't are probably no longer going to have to look at again.
So do you want a motion section by section based upon the summary?
That's what I prefer, unless you disagree with anything that's in any particular section. But yeah, I would hope that we could have basically 3 motions tonight, one on the deleted items, one on the ordinances, and one on those to be put into the handbook. Trustee Dart?
Do we have to do anything about the addition of policy book number 39?
Separately found on the bottom under operational handbook. We did put it in there.
If I can ask just a definitional, I mean, what do you view, Tracy, to be the distinction between the policy book and the operational handbook?
I think this came about when I met with Steve this morning. The policy book's like, well, what is that actually? We kind of talked about that. So then when we were looking at some of the things that need to be in a policy book, if you want to call that, or what we came up with as a name, the operational handbook, we just came up with that name and shifted things into that as just a catch-all for the things that don't fit in personnel manual or aren't ordinance-based. And some of the items on here we actually moved from, like for instance, item 56, approval of reoccurring events. Brad was just able to add the two special events permits, so it no longer has to be in Royal Assistance on the special events permit. Same with the political activity in the Village Hall, that can be added to the Village Hall rental agreement form. So things were shifted that way, and then when we talked about keeping a manual of some kind, whether it's an operational handbook or a policy book or however we want to address it, that would be kind of a catch-all for all those things that don't fit elsewhere.
So basically, if we follow this summary verbatim, we don't have a policy book anymore.
We do not.
It's either going to be in the personnel manual, in ordinance, or we're just changing the name policy handbook or manual to operational handbook.
Right, and maybe that's not a good title. That's just something we came up as we were going through this morning.
I kind of like that title.
I kind of do, but, yeah.
Here's a question for you. If, for example, 56 and 57 have been added to applications or agreement forms, mm-hmm. should we still have it listed someplace that that's where they are?
No, why does that matter, though? If it's on a document for the rental of this facility or the rental of another facility, that is being addressed. And it's on there, and everybody knows that when you're renting the Village Hall, for instance, the political activity you can have in here is this, 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 and this, but you can't have these other ones. So would you want it in a handbook? I don't know. We were trying to be more concise and put it where the users would see it and the staff would see it, and it would be very clear.
Yeah, I don't disagree with having it on the forms. I mean, that's fine, but to me, even an operational manual will tell you how to operate the place. So if Brad gets hit by a bus, sorry, Brad, that someone could at least theoretically come in and say, all right, I got to do this. I look in this operational manual and I see if someone wants to apply for a recurring event, oh, that's in the actual application. And so I know where that is. So it'd be more of an indexing rather than having the operational policy or whatever we're calling it to be there. I would at least know where it ends. But I think we can add those things as we go along. I just want to make this as user-friendly as possible, not only for residents but for the staff as well, so we all know exactly where everything ends. Brad goes on vacation for a week, let's say, instead of getting hit by a bus. And then he gets hit by a bus while on vacation. So that we sort of know where things are. There's one source we can find out where those operational rules are. It's something that just occurred to me as I was reading through that. I hadn't really thought of it before.
Yeah, and we could certainly do that in the operational handbook, put that type of thing in and have it set and then know where to look for it.
Yeah.
So I don't think that's a problem. I think the operational handbook is a work in progress.
Yeah.
As we move along, there'll be more things added to it that we'll come up with and go, okay, this is where that belongs. And because it's really important for everybody to understand those types of things, like you said. And for when we get a phone call, I can answer it, Brad can answer it, Susie can answer it. So everyone has the answer, and that handbook can help them to answer questions rather than passing them on. And then understanding more what everybody does and what's going on and, help people out in general.
Right. I definitely don't want to get into a situation where, 5 years from now we're back where
right. We
work with ordinances in there and other things in there, or too many full policy statements. But I think we could have a nice index of where to go for the information in this operational handbook. Okay, are we ready to start making some motions? Debbie or Brad, was there anything that you wanted to add? I really thank you for taking a look at this. This is going to be very helpful.
I think the way it's been laid out is clear. I mean, Debbie and I have been following the old handbook for a long, long time.
Yeah.
And it's nice to pull some of those out because they were ordinance, more ordinance related. And it is used. It's nice to be able to answer that question. When a resident calls, they might start with something, then they go into something else.
Sure.
You're able to quickly answer it so they don't have to call back or whatever else. So.
Right. Good. Debbie, do you have anything to add? No. All right. I'll entertain a motion. Is there anyone who wants to take Trustee Gingrich?
I move that we delete the policies in the first section, if you want to break it up into three.
I do, yes. Is there a second to that motion? Trustee Green? Discussion? had some questions, and I'm not sure exactly.
With the adherence to the foot and personnel manual as highlighted. Yeah, that's it.
Policy 18 with consent agendas. I had a question about, because that's one of those situations where, well, I think I'll sort of bring that up when I review the charter ordinances with regard to the board. Like I said, we I think follow our charter ordinances, but there are sort of some nuances that we don't do verbatim. And I think those need to be documented somewhere, that this board, this is sort of how we run the meeting or do our business, as opposed to assuming that it's exactly like Robert's Rules of Order. And you know, those could be changed as boards change, but I think it's important for us to sort of document somewhere how it is that we do our business. You know, another example is getting a motion in a second before you discuss an item, and we do that usually. Sometimes we don't, so I think it sort of should be documented, those cases where we're not following Robert's rules to a T and we're purposely not doing it. And if you know anything about Robert's rules, and I don't claim to be an expert, it's really hard to follow them to a T. And every municipality and every group that I've ever seen that uses Robert's rules uses them differently. So I think it's just a good idea to sort of document how we do things. And I think that would be an example, but again, I'll take that up later when I look at them overall. I think that's the only question I had with regard to deleted items. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Is there a motion with regard to the section 2 policies to be incorporated into current ordinances, or if they can't be incorporated into current ordinances, for the ordinances to come forward? Trustee Gass?
I will make that motion.
Is there a second? Trustee Cobra, second?
Second.
Discussion?
No, I'm just happy to see that, you know, some things have been taken out of policy when they shouldn't be properly in ordinance, because you can't cite anybody and penalize them for a violation of the policy. So.
And all of these obviously will come back to you as they get, the staff gets to them, they'll come back to you for your approval as an addition to the ordinance.
Just thought of another example. We had Craig remind us of our policy for shepherding people through the lateral replacement process. That's an example of where we have a policy, we have a way of doing things. This is what people come to the village hall and they pull a permit and we tell them to do this and dig here, and if they don't find it, to go 18 inches or whatever, 2 feet, 3 feet to either side, and if they can't, then come back. So we have a policy, what we tell people, but I'm not sure, Brad, you would have known that exact policy until Craig had reminded you. And I know that I didn't as a board member, and I got calls about it. So I think we need an operational manual for things like that, so we can tell people how it is that we take care of the business of running the village. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Where's item 25?
At the bottom, near the bottom.
This one.
Good, all right. Is there a motion with regard to section 3, policies to basically stay in this handbook, but I think we're going to call it something different, like an operational handbook, more descriptive. Including the squad rifle. Trustee Gass.
I will approve the portion, or move to approve the portion of the policy to remain or be put into an operational handbook. And I'll even, with a caveat, I think, you know, Steve, you mentioned policy 56 and 57, you know, reoccurring events and political activity, and those should be carried forward into the operational handbook as well.
So they'd be listed above?
No.
Oh, not deleted, to move. Okay, right,
correct.
Do you want the actual policy listed there, or do you want the just a reference to where the person could find the specifics of that policy?
Well, I think you basically take the policy and, you know, I mean, it would just show up in the operational handbook as is. And I like the concept, too, of putting on the form as well. You know, but I think Steve is correct. If there's an underlying operational policy, I mean, it should cross-reference from the form to some piece of paper somewhere in the policy manual.
Okay. Is there a second? I'll second. Discussion. Brad, number 16.
Yes.
Can you explain to me what, why that's not
foreign? Well,
use of all village
part of it is in the ordinance. So basically what was getting, it was before my time, but I'm trying to put these pieces together. It was in
there, was a time before Brett.
There was something before me.
It wasn't very good, but it was something before.
It was just controlling like large events taking place without approval from the village. Soccer tournaments, Alley Fest, those sort of events, so that there were a process for people to go about applying for a special event. So it kind of falls under the special event in a way.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking. Is this really an ordinance? Should this be part of an ordinance rather than a... You know what? I mean, we could just put it in the operational manual right now. It might be something to look at to see if we actually have to send it down a different path. It just struck me as something that's part of our ordinances about what you can and can't do, and then.
Or it seems to me that, you know, these could be the operational policies of the village, and the rental agreement, they agree to abide by those. And if not, there's a certain penalty. I don't know, there needs to be an ordinance. To the extent that I see some of these things are in the ordinance, like alcoholic beverages, but, you know, I don't think that they have to be. They can be an operational policy, but then I think the rental agreement,
you say, agree to abide by
them. Abide by them, and if I don't abide by them, then here's my contractual penalty.
Okay. All right, I'm comfortable with that. Why don't we go this direction? And if for some reason you think maybe it doesn't belong here, we can discuss it as we move forward.
Okay.
Everyone understand the motion? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Well, thank you all. It's easier than...
Well, it became easy with the summary.
Yes.
I didn't know how we were going to do it before the summary.
Before that, yeah.
B. Again, recommendations from the Planning Commission on September 23rd, the approval and scheduling of public hearing for site plan review ordinance as addition of traditional neighborhood development concepts. Is there a motion with regard to this item? There's a lot to digest in here, isn't there? Tracy, do you want to add anything before we move forward?
I sure can. The ordinance, basically what the Planning Commission with help of Brown County Planning Department did was take the existing ordinance and adapt it a bit to make it more friendly to having traditional neighborhood development concepts as a part of it. And when you look at it, you won't see the TND really jumping out at you. But it's in there, and it allows, it created, the changes in the ordinance created some flexibility to allow Plan Commission and Village Board to consider some of those kind of concepts. We didn't go as far with it as we could have, because one reason Brown County wanted us to hold back a little bit is we don't have a full-time staff member that, if we had a huge traditional neighborhood development plan and very specific, it would be very difficult to implement and keep on top of it. So this allows us to get there, but doesn't go all the way, but allows, again, some flexibility for it. You know, a lot of the verbiage that you see in it that has changed specifically, if you go to, we should have numbered these pages, but about five pages back, let's see, it is...
What's the first word at the top of the page?
The first word on the top of the page would be walls contain windows. Mm-hmm. And it's a B. It's under Section 7, the General Building and Site Plan Performance Standards, which is 1, 2, 3, 4, the fifth page back.
All right.
So under General Building and Plan Performance Standards, that's when you get into a lot of the TMD concepts that are in there. You see Item C, which talks about preferred parking to be located by the side or to the rear of the principal building. That is, again, that's definitely a TMD type concept. It doesn't say it has to be. It's just saying it's a preferred. We can still have it be up front like we have with most of our developments, but it's just an option opening that up. Providing a bicycle racks for putting that in here is more of a TND type thing. When you get to the top of the next page, it talks a lot more about architectural treatments. It talks about concepts that awnings, shutters, canopies, like things that will make it look better. The principal structure will be, a primary facade will be oriented to the primary street frontage. So there's things like that that have been added that allow more of the TND type things. So they're in there, but they're not as bold as I guess they could be. So that's one of the changes that stands out a little bit more. When you get into the approval, so go page over approval, construction, and expiration and amendments. So it's B on the middle of the next page. In there, we put some, that bottom part that's underlined, we put the PDD, the same process that we use in the PDD. If you remember when Mr. Mako with the property next door had to expand his timeline and he came to the board and you guys looked at it and then made the approval and that type of thing, it would be the same thing with site plan review. That was not in there at the time, so that was added to make the approvals a little more consistent with what's with PDD. The only thing that I saw in here that is incorrect that we should probably change, and we can do it later, but they do have, if you remember tonight, we talked about the open space, the green space. It's a 20% open space. In here, it's been reduced to 10. And I don't know if it was just a typo, but it probably should be moved back up to the 20. And that's under the landscaping section. It's in the second to last page on the top under item 3. So, and the other thing that's changed in here that came, again, from Plan Commission was, as far as landscaping, that the property owner would need to get into a long-term maintenance agreement with the village. So basically saying that they would maintain and keep up their landscaping. It would be very similar to our stormwater long-term maintenance agreements that we have, that they have to maintain and take care of those stormwater facilities so that they're functioning properly. This would be the same thing, but on a maintenance standpoint for landscaping. So, for instance, the properties that are the project that we just approved tonight, if a year down the road the landscaping is dead, they're not keeping it up, it's got a ton of weeds in it, looks like heck, we could go in and say, okay, you guys need to take care of that and replace and make sure this is appealing.
And we do have some of our current PDDs with dead trees, dead bushes that aren't being maintained like they should be. Are we planning on sending them reminder letters to that fact?
We could probably look at that. I don't know if you can go back with this saying, you know, it's changed.
Oh, that verbiage has been in there for a while.
I think that's new.
The maintain verbiage?
Well, the maintain has, but we did add that caveat that they actually have to have a long-term maintenance agreement with the village.
Yeah, no, I'm talking about the maintain
yeah.
verbiage, so we should yeah. be able to go back and... I just have another question on this one, too. And then the site plan approval does expire before completion of the project, and the applicant does not wish to reapply to complete the project. The village has a right to provide the necessary services to bring the project to completion or to the satisfaction of the plan commission and the village board so as not to have an adverse effect on the community as a result of termination of the project. Here's the part that concerns me. The village shall provide necessary services mentioned above and levy the cost thereof as a special assessment on the tax bills of the applicant. My big question is, you know, they file for bankruptcy, it's in foreclosure, just like the house we were involved in, what, a month ago. That could be a huge bill we're stuck with and we can't recoup, so.
What's the alternative?
Sue the developer right then, before they file for bankruptcy.
Well, we always have that option, don't we? This doesn't preclude us from suing them.
Just want to make sure the village gets paid.
Yeah, but I think...
Randy, you're our attorney.
But I think, you know, and Tracy, correct me if I'm wrong, but, you know, the obligation to do it can be dischargeable in bankruptcy, but once it becomes a special assessment, then it's essentially a tax, and those... My understanding are non-dischargeable bankruptcy.
Well, but not even
taxes.
That it gets repossessed, like that house down on Liable, and
the
then
the county owns it.
Yeah, and then the county owns it, and then they sell it for less than what we've got in it, and then the village gets nothing.
Yeah, that's true.
So I guess that's just my, and I don't know of a way to fix it. So I'm just bringing up a concern because I really truly don't know of a way to fix that. I have greater legal minds. Can.
This doesn't preclude us from suing, right? It just says that we have the right to make the improvements to the property so it doesn't look horrible and negatively affect our residents and then try to get our money back through special assessments to that property. But if we wanted to go ahead and sue, I think we can do that any time. Right?
Well, they may have reached an agreement, of course, but you can sue them. But, you know, bankruptcy kind of stops that.
Is there any way we can have them put up, and this would be a real estate law question, but I know some places are required to put up some fairly substantial bonds that if the project doesn't go to completion, that the bond then goes to the municipality. So I didn't know if that was an option.
Sure, those are options. I mean, you can make them post a performance bond, you know, with a surety company, and if they don't perform, then the bonding company will take care of them. You know, or you could have them, you know, do an escrow or an irrevocable letter of credit, you know, from a financial institution. You know, but
would that be part of an operational manual, or would that be?
No, that would have to be part of an ordinance. Yeah, but then again, you know, then you got it's a fine line between protecting your interests and then also having an ordinance that's unduly burdensome to attracting business and development to the community.
Yeah. However, we've had issues with them not getting done.
When we used that with Mr. Monaco across when we expanded his PPP, we required the escrow, so we do have money now. If some of the work does not get done, then we can go ahead and do it. And I would assume with site, because that's not in our PDD ordinance either. With site plan review, we probably could do the same thing, but we could certainly add that in here that, you know, as another example, an escrow, required escrow, or like you said, a performance bond or something can be required.
It would be nice to put in that we reserve the right to do that, but I wouldn't want to have that be right part of the rule that you have to do it for every.
Yeah, because there's a cost associated with that for the developer. They've got to pay a premium on the performance bond.
The performance bond.
However, if we get somebody in who's anywhere near shoddy, financially unstable, I mean, people have floated some pretty crazy ideas. I just want options.
Yeah, that's it.
can definitely add that as part of the motion. If you want to get to that point, I think it's probably a good idea to at least add some verbiage reserving the right to require.
Yeah.
I'm not sure the legalities of when you would actually utilize that and when you wouldn't. I mean, is it discriminatory to say, hey,
yeah,
you look like a kind of shady character, so you're going to have to put some money down, and you're not. I mean, we're going to have some guidelines for when we utilize that.
Or like a PDV that's been floundering for years. I mean, that's why I think it was very appropriate to add an escrow to Mr. Mako's. I mean, this one has, every time we're turning around, we've got an extension on it. But then, too, I just, other municipalities have been hit with these half-done buildings and didn't even know that, you know, the company was headed under, and or companies that aren't even solvent by the time it's done.
I mean, I'm looking at, the way I'm looking at this, it seems prudent to add something to the verbiage of this to reference that the village reserves the right to levy some sort of performance bond. When we do that, it seems more of an operational manual kind of internal policy as to when we, but we have to have something that we, you know, in case someone ever questions the consistency or integrity of what we're doing, we can say this is our internal policy and we followed our internal policy in both of these cases. But we could get in trouble if it's just willy-nilly, right, as to who we asked to put down significant money and who we don't.
I agree. I wonder what the costs are of just requiring it of everybody, because it seems to me that if you're a solvent company and you've performed well, the cost of that's going to be negligible. But however, if a company comes in and is underwriting you for a performance bond and you don't have solid financials, your track record isn't there. But I don't want to impinge either new people doing things. And that's the part I struggle with, because, you know, you get some new and innovative ideas that you want to foster. So I don't want to impinge that either. So, yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Are we ready to move forward? And again, we would move forward with scheduling a public hearing with regard to this.
So is it a two-part approve the site plan design changes and schedule a public hearing?
Yeah. And then
I think it's one motion.
But to include those two things in approval plus scheduling.
Yes, yeah. And we don't have to choose a date right now, but right. Just to agree to move forward to scheduling it.
I'll make that motion that we approve the site plan review and changes as recommended by the Plan Commission and to schedule public hearing for site plan review ordinance.
Is there a second?
Can I make a second with a friendly addition?
Yes.
To add the verbiage regarding the possibility of finance, and Randy, help me with the legal pieces of this, performance bonds and escrow could be
required of the...
Yeah.
I'll send Tracy some money.
Okay.
That you can put it in a draft form when it comes back to the board.
Okay.
Thank you.
Trustee Gennaris, I agree to that?
Yep.
So that's a second by Trustee Green?
Yes.
Discussion?
And can you change if you, I don't know if you have to put in the 10% to 20% if you feel that way. I think, like you said, I think that from here and there it is 20% for our current one, and I would hate to see it
go up
to
10%. Thank you.
Given that, we could amend the motion to go to 20%.
20. Trustee,
yes.
Okay. So we understand the motion? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion carries. Do we have what we need?
And Plan Commission has done a ton of work on this one, as well as
the comp plan.
And the comp plan, they've just done a really good job. We've got some really good people on that board right now, and they're just really into it. So it's a good thing.
Tracy and I were discussing it this morning, just the amount of work and thought that went into just editing this document.
And it was staggering. The discussion we had earlier with the people from Windermere, you know, the bike racks were included, the concrete pad next to the dumpster. So kind of ahead of the game almost there, so
right.
That's a good thing.
And moving the dumpster from the neighbors.
Right. Yeah.
Please pass along our thanks to those folks. They've been working really hard. All right, another planning commission item discussion on the timeline for the comprehensive plan update. Do they want a motion with regard to this? I mean, it looks good to me, but
I just want a more informational, I guess,
dictate,
to let
right.
you know. And if you have any major concerns with this, there are two meetings that we would like Village Board to be involved with, the public hearing on November 25th, which they scheduled to be in at 5:30. And then your final approval would be at the December 3rd meeting. So I don't know if there's any concern, yes, specifically with the 25th or December 3rd, your regular meeting time. But the Plan Commission did, you have to have a 30-day public hearing as a requirement of it, a hearing period. So the document will be available at the Village Hall. The document will be available at the website. And then the Plan Commission wanted to have an open house during that 30-day period. It's not a requirement, but they felt it was a good idea to get do that, so they're going to be planning for the open house at their next meeting, and that they want to schedule November 12th from 5 to 7. And then the public hearing, as stated, is November 25th. Plan Commission would approve it at that meeting because that's their regularly scheduled meeting, and then it would go on to those board for final approval on December 3rd. So that's their
timeline
to try to get it all approved. And again, it's a document that has spent a lot of time put into it by Plan Commission and a lot of review and back and forth, but it really turned out well. It looks good, and we're just putting the final touches on it right now. So,
could you send out outlook requests for the, especially the 25th, to the board?
He's done a really good job, and all the footwork on it, you know, has been just a ton. So it's been just a great thing to have him around and be able to take this project on. And he's done a really good job with it. Couldn't have got done without him here. There's no way it would have gotten done.
On a related note, since we're on.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
You know, UW Green Bay was awarded a grant to increase the number of interns that they're placing with regard to public and environmental affairs, I think, or urban regional studies. So we have had such a good experience with interns, and we wrote letters of support for them for that grant. They received the money, and now because we've had such a strong partnership with them, they're asking if we have room for or interest in additional interns. And I hope, I haven't really talked to Tracy or Brad about this in much detail, but I'm hoping that our answer is a resounding yes. We've had such wonderful. So I know it's not a burden, but I know it's extra responsibility for the folks at the village who supervise them. But I think after, you know, a month or two, once they get the hang of things, from our perspective, they've been wonderful, and I hope that's the same for both of you, for all of you.
Yeah, Brad and I just talked about it today, actually, and she had emailed back to me saying they have two interns that are looking for placement. And Brad's willing to take one on right away. I'd rather wait because I still have Trevor, and I'd like to wait till after the first of the year next semester. So hopefully we will get two interns, and they will be at no cost to the village because the grant will be covering the cost. So it's really a nice program, and hopefully we'll be able to benefit from it.
We don't have to discuss this with them, but we'd have taken them anyway. I mean,
yeah.
For what we paid those interns, they just did some really nice work for us. I will pass along our thanks to the folks at Green Bay. All right, so we need no action on 9C. Items 10A through C we'll take together unless there are objections. Is there a motion with regard to items 10A through C?
Is this in our operation?
No, be quiet.
I won't do
it. I thought you were going to call for a point of order here. But is there a second? Trustee Dart seconds. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? That motion carries. Is there a motion to adjourn? Trustee Kovach, second. Trustee Dart. All in favor?
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? We're adjourned.